Here's what happened this morning with Stacey and Clayton.
So yesterday was a big day for us. We got to post our reviews of the controversial debate, President's Choice macaroni and cheese versus the old standard Kraft dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I both at home separately did our own taste tests, and we came to the same conclusion that President's Choice macaroni and cheese, whether it be the orange stuff or the white cheddar, hands down, far superior to Kraft dinner.
Way better.
Way
Not
better.
Not even close.
I have to even say, I told Sean about this, our little experiment that he did, and mm-hmm. he was like, yeah. Growing up, he said, President's Choice white cheddar macaroni and cheese was his favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, who are you? I had no idea. Like, I didn't actually know that, you know, secretly it was kind of his favorite as well. And based on the feedback that we are getting on the Crew's Facebook page, a lot of people saying, absolutely, President's Choice white cheddar or President's Choice macaroni and cheese is way better. We also changed some lives. Blair, this has been a big eye-opener as of this point in my life. Other people saying they are going home to throw out their Kraft dinner and purchase President's Choice macaroni and cheese.
A lot of these people figured this out by accident because they were shopping and they're like, on a little bit of a budget, you know what, I'll save myself a dollar. I'll go with the no-name brand instead of Kraft dinner. Then they realized,
it's so much better.
Holy Moses, this is a game changer. I just couldn't believe the difference. I thought it would be like, okay, they kind of taste the same.
Mm-hmm.
Nay, nay. They taste very, very different. Like,
yeah.
White cheddar, PC brand mac and cheese. Again, I don't want to use the word life-changing, but I am Canadian, and mac and cheese is a big part of our lives. So
yeah.
It is life-changing. I just can't believe the response we got on this debate. Like, tons of comments, tons of likes, tons of shares, people calling in and voicing their opinion. Whenever Canadians talk about mac and cheese or Kraft dinner, they get so passionate. And I just can never figure that out. It's like, yesterday, we were talking about the budget. Nothing. We were talking about the Alberta election. Nothing. Then we talk about mac and cheese versus Kraft dinner.
Boom.
Huge explosion. About a month and a half ago, the Saskatoon Airport introduced this flat rate for cab rides. For example, if you live in Stonebridge, instead of paying a fare, you would just pay a flat rate of like $38, $39,
yep.
Something like that. No matter what, you just pay that flat rate. City Council meeting on Monday. Apparently, we learned that this is not a mandatory thing. It's optional.
Scandal.
And no one knew about it. No one knew. The airport was like, well, the cab company should have told you.
Because we're leaving that communication up to them.
Exactly. And
there's your problem.
City Councilor Troy Davies was like, yeah, we were told it's 100% mandatory. Like, people in my ward were under the impression that they had to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And if you went with the fare instead of the flat rate, apparently you're saving like $9, $10 every single time.
Yeah.
So kind of a ripoff, kind of greasy, not going to lie.
Well, and that's the thing. It's tough with flat rates because flat rates maybe work in your favor if there's like no traffic or something, or you mm-hmm. know, depending on traffic.
Exactly.
But at the same time, if you get into a cab and you're like, okay, hello, cab driver, I would like to choose the meter
mm-hmm.
rate instead of a flat rate for this ride to the airport, do you think the cab driver is going to be like, oh, okay, I'm just going to do 60 all the way to the airport and take the scenic route along Spadina?
How awkward would that taxi ride be? Because you know how some cab drivers, they're a little chatty, you know? What do you do? How about that local sports team, hey? If you were like, hey, instead of a flat rate, I want to do the fare.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're like, oh, okay, fine.
Imagine if they had, like, limos, that little window. They just, like, I'm not talking to you. Saskatoon's mayor, Charlie Clark, is giving up. One of the perks of sitting on Saskatoon's mayor's chair.
Oh,
sorry, I should have finished the full sentence.
You could have worded
yeah.
that a little bit better.
Mayor Charlie Clark is relinquishing his power to name streets and parks. What's going to happen now is there will be a naming committee to decide on the names, and then City Hall will officially apply them.
How do they decide this committee? Like, who's going to be on it? Is there going to be a vote or something like that?
Members of City Hall administrative staff are assigned to the committee.
Oh.
So I don't think we can be on it.
Can we start working at City Hall just so we can start naming streets and parks in Saskatoon?
Because wouldn't that be fun?
This would be a dream job. I wouldn't even just name new streets. I would take the old boring streets that have boring names here in Saskatoon, and I would spice it up with some new names.
Renaming.
For example, Confederation Drive, not anymore. Banana Hammock Avenue. Because I think that would be hilarious. Yeah, take a left on Banana Hammock Ave. So funny, right?
What about, because like Spadina, classic street in Saskatoon, rename it Tree Street.
Tree Street,
I like
that one.
It's a street with all the trees on it. That's easy.
8th Street, it's just a number, it's boring. Ranch Dressing Boulevard. Can you imagine? Yeah, just take Ranch Dressing Boulevard and go from there. Mine are all silly and ridiculous, I'm not going
to
lie.
How about Idlewild? It's annoying to spell, sometimes hard to say for people. Name it after my cat. Her name was Chloe.
Chloe Drive.
Chloe Drive.
Hart Road? Not anymore. You're now Dome Road in honor of Dawn Atchison's Dome Over Downtown idea.
Oh.
Lakeview Park? Barry Hotel Memorial Park. We miss you, Barry Hotel. Rosewood Boulevard West? Chris Farley Lane. We also miss you, Chris
Another
Farley.
Another brilliant idea.
A few more here. Instead of Quebec Avenue, Dirk Street, in honor of Dirk's adult novelties and gifts that used to be on 20th Street there.
Okay.
Also, we should just name one street Olive Garden Street. That way, Olive Garden has to come here, right? Can you imagine, like, tourists come to Saskatoon and you have to explain that? Okay, you're going to take a right on Barry Hotel Drive, and then you're going to turn left at Dome Over Downtown Boulevard, like... What?
Have you thought of the cost of changing all these signs, Clayton?
Okay, whatever. The budget will balance itself. We don't have to worry about the costs, all right? We got some great suggestions. Our friends at CTV Morning, they want to name one after Jeff Rogstad. Jeff Rogstad Road. Rob McDonald deserves a road before Jeff Rogstad. Nothing on Jeff Rogstad. I love the guy. But Rob McDonald, he's got to get a road before Rogstad, hey?
He's
you
a legend.
Think so, yeah. Some other ones we got too. Rhodey McRoadface. That's always a classic right there.
We got to vote for Sailor Dan Street.
Oh, yes, of course. Or West Side Dougie Street as well.
Or Welcome to Pothole Paradise.
Okay, come
on
now.
That's a funny one.
The street beside the wastewater treatment plant. That's White Swan Road, right?
That is.
We got a call about that one.
I think White Swan Drive should be renamed Swan Fart Drive.
It stinks, doesn't it?
Oh, it does, yes.
When that wind moves in just the right direction, it is disgusting. Politics here in Canada, for the most part, fairly, I don't want to say lighthearted, because politics is a very serious thing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the SNC-Lavalin scandal currently going down, not the greatest for old Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. But when it comes to major, major, you know, dramatic issues, we tend to not have as many as, let's say, our neighbors down south with President Trump. That being said, a bit of a comical situation happening in Parliament recently.
Yeah, our neighbors to the south make us look very, very tame, because while they're dealing with a bunch of huge, serious scandals, we're dealing with stuff like this.
Mr. Speaker, we all know that the rules of the House do not permit us to eat in this place. And I can't help but observing that during the last vote, a number of people were eating in their seats, including the Minister of Defense, the Minister of Canadian Heritage, and the Prime Minister, who appeared to be hiding a bagel in his desk. Mr. Speaker, the Prime Minister is already staying in this place with corruption. He does not need to stain it with mustard as well.
Exactly. Oh, damn.
It was a chocolate bar. I apologize.
Hey, it wasn't a bagel. It was a chocolate bar. It's fine, okay?
He's
a bagel.
So
that's,
sorry.
A bagel. That's outrageous. But a chocolate bar. Okay, that's cool. This is the kind of stuff
so
that's making front page news in Canada, and I love it. And like the headline: Prime Minister apologizes for eating chocolate bar in House of Commons. That is so Canadian,
it
right there.
It is so funny.
We apologize about everything, but I really want to know what chocolate bar he was eating.
I hope it was a Snickers.
Snickers, really?
Because he gets cranky when he's hungry. We have a fun article posted on our crew's Facebook page, and it involves sports fans in the province, more specifically when it comes to curling.
Uh-huh. And Saskatoon's own Devin Haru wrote this for the CBC. Shout out to Devin Haru, one of Saskatoon's finest. Does some great work for them. Basically, the title of the article, Canada's Curling Fans Are Great. Until you lose. And that is so true. Remember when Rachel Holman was in the Olympics and she was struggling and she lost? Remember the backlash that she had on Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah, not cool.
People were like, you are a disgrace, Rachel Homan. You did our country the opposite of proud. It's like, okay, Debbie, you curl at the Nutana Curling Club. Rachel Homan is representing us on the Olympic level.
As an Olympian.
I'm pretty sure she's a bit better than you at this whole curling thing. It's not just curling fans, though. It's just sports fans in general.
I think so, because this crosses directly over to the Riders.
Mm-hmm.
Riders are doing amazing, you know, winning games, that's fantastic. Yeah. The minute they start losing, boom, people change.
For the Riders, even when they're winning, people are upset. Well, we just beat the Bombers 31-10, but our O-line can't do anything. Oh, Chris Jones has got to go.
Yeah.
If you listen to the post-game show, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Rider Nation loves it. Hockey fans. Especially our World Junior hockey team.
Oh, yeah, that was nasty.
Every year around Boxing Day.
With World Juniors, they are younger children.
I know.
At least, I guess, with when it comes to these, you know, older athletes, they've... maybe their skin's a little thicker. I don't know. But yeah, when it comes to the youth, it's like, okay, ease up already.
Well, the reason this article was published was because Chelsea Carey, who's at the Women's Curling Championships right now, she's getting roasted on Twitter because she's not doing too well. Mm-hmm. She might miss the playoffs, which is the first time in a long time Team Canada misses the playoffs at this tournament. And yeah, people on Twitter, you're a disgrace. You should be ashamed of yourself. Like, imagine being a pro athlete. You've worked your entire life to get to this point.
Yeah.
And you're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
You're representing your country. And then Dale from Lanigan, who has like 2 years of experience in the sport you played, never went anywhere, huge beer gut, out of shape, does nothing, starts criticizing you.
Yeah.
Like,
and you're just thinking you've done such an amazing thing by being able to represent your country in a sporting event, and that's what you have to deal with. Back in the 80s, there was probably nothing, no added stress other than, again, representing your country, winning your game. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a whole other side of things, the online social media fan base that... I don't know if you could even call yourself a fan if you're criticizing like that.
A fanatic. That's where the word fan comes from. Yeah, Dale from Lanigan can just hide behind his keyboard and chirp all he wants.
Pothole season has officially begun as well, although I feel like pothole season starts when the snow melts.
Yeah.
And it basically has been going on for a little bit. The city of Saskatoon, though, they're expecting fewer potholes this spring. As long as roads continue to dry up in conjunction with a slower spring melt. The city has also said that they've done a much better job over the last few years in road rehabilitation and protective maintenance.
Hmm.
I'm a big fan of protective maintenance. If you can do things in the present that are going to prolong, you know, things from happening in the future, I'm all for that. So if you can do stuff now that's going to save you time later, do it.
Now, it's not like there are no potholes on the streets of Saskatoon, but there are less. I mean, it's easy to just sit here and say, fake news, the potholes in this city are the worst, we're the pothole capital of Canada, city workers do nothing. No, they are doing something.
Yeah.
They're doing a good job. I remember the intersection at Taylor and McKercher. Nightmare for potholes. Every single year, there would be tons of potholes, and every single year, they would fill those potholes up, and yet, after the snow melted, the potholes would come back. The past 2 years, though, no potholes at all. The city has done a great job of maintaining that area. I mean, that's one intersection out of how many in Saskatoon?
Lots.
So, but I just remember, Taylor and McKercher sucked so much, but now it's not that bad.
The other things that are really grind my gears are those utility cuts, the square holes that the city digs to fix water main breaks and that kind of stuff. Those are a lot more harsh. Like, potholes at least are round and maybe softer on the edges. I don't know. These utility cuts, they're like perfect squares. They have been filled with, like, dirt. But then when those start to get mushy, they get pretty nasty as well.
Sometimes they even turn into, like, a little mini ramp.
Yeah.
And if you want to, you can speed up and turn into the Dukes of Hazzard there. Looks like those Duke boys are at it again.